This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 318 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We're keeping it short.
Can I tell you what I don't get?
What don't you get?
Modern newspaper reporting.
Is there such a thing?
Well, I mean, just the drivel that they put out.
Oh, yeah.
I just read an article not 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And the headline was, Woman wins huge in competitions. So I thought I'd have a look. And sure enough, this woman has won $72,000 worth of stuff in competitions this year.
Right.
Which in itself, that sounds rather pleasing. But she enters 400 competitions a day.
400 a day?
According to the newspaper article, which I calculate out as 146,000 competitions a year.
Yeah.
Which is less than 50 cents a competition she's winning. The time she's taking to enter everything. She's going backwards steadily.
Yeah.
And half the stuff she's winning, she's probably, you know, worth nothing. Oh, you got four packets of Omo powder. She senses everything about anything and everything. How crazy is it? And that's news.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the tragic part.
Headlines of this world. Yeah, just nuts.
Yeah.
How's your week been, my friend? All right.
Fairly crazy busy at work. I mean, for my line of work, this is really. Literally the silly season.
Oh, really? So everyone's advertising for Christmas and stuff.
Just goes ballistic, yeah. And it'll actually get worse in the, you know, in the week leading up to, you know, the shutdown for the Christmas period, because believe it or not, there are advertisers who suddenly realise on the 23rd, oh, it's Christmas in 2 days, I should probably advertise.
We haven't actually told anyone about our Christmas sale. That could be why numbers are down.
Who knew? Never ceases to amaze me every year.
it's the same thing every single year.
Yeah. Anyway.
So is your advertising department keeping track of these people who put things in late and contacting them early next year so they get the site?
Yeah, they do, but then there's a different crowd.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. The word on air last year.
Management's changed since last year.
So anyway, and your week?
All over the shop, quite frankly. It's been not a great week. My family health issues and stuff has been a bad week. So my sister and her husband have been travelling through Myanmar, and she came down with a nasty stomach disease.
Bug.
Yeah. And fever, and he was getting sick. So they flew out of Myanmar to Thailand to go to better hospitals.
Right.
And he was diagnosed with dengue fever and hepatitis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now they've pulled out dengue, and they said it could be malaria instead. So they're having a great holiday.
Yeah, right.
He's hospitalized. He's been in there 2 days.
It's pretty tragic when you need to get out of a country to go to Thailand to find a better hospital.
But here's the thing. They're saying the hospital they've been in Thailand is better than anything they've been to here.
Wow.
It's a fabulous hospital, yeah.
Really?
Fabulous hospital there compared to the sort of stuff they get here. So that's, and he's been in hospital 2 days, and there's still no sign of when he's going to get out, and they haven't confirmed it's malaria yet. They're doing more tests and stuff. And
yeah, right.
He's a sick puppy, and the strangeness that's my family, that during finding out all this sort of stuff, my mum casually drops into conversation that she was diagnosed with dementia last week.
Oh, jeez.
So on top of the poor old deer struggling with Parkinson's, she's now got dementia to go with it. So it's
that's harsh.
Yeah, it's not been the most joyful of weeks.
No,
but I went to the zoo with my mate Dave today.
Dave,
and just wasn't in the mood to take photos at all.
Right,
I feel a bit flat, bit down. So just sort of wandering around, but I did teach a lady how to use spot metering on her phone, which was a good thing.
Oh wow. Spot metering on your phone?
On her phone, yeah. So she had it on her Samsung or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And she said she was having trouble with the mandrels that were backlit. So I sort of taught her how to do that. So I was, it kept me occupied for a bit.
But I mostly just
took iPhone photos of people at the zoo, you know. Yeah, it's like they were the animals sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of kind of amusing. It was a lovely day to walk around. The weather-wise was gorgeous.
Oh, good.
I did see something a bit amusing this week. I was wandering through my local shopping centre yesterday.
Right.
And noticed all the Santa set up and all the photos and stuff. And anytime there's photos going, you always have a bit of a look.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I saw something I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
This big advertising stuff saying Christmas memories brought to you by Olympus. So first up, Olympus are using their hard to come by advertising dollars to sponsor Santas at shopping centres, which is interesting in itself. To which I found highly amusing that directly above that sign is where the camera and the computer are. And they're shooting with Nikon.
Oh. Yikes.
Unbelievable.
Wow. So Olympus have sponsored it, but they've contracted the photography out to somebody who shoots with Nikon.
Well, no, these people are obviously, these setups are ongoing. So these ongoing photography companies have obviously approached Olympus for sponsorship.
Right.
And they've agreed, but someone's kind of failed to get the slot. Maybe if Olympus is sponsoring, they should be shooting with Olympus.
Yeah, slight oversight.
That is just dumb. Of course, I'd take photos of it all, send it through to Olympus Australia and haven't heard anything from them, but that was pretty darn poor. The other thing I've been doing this week is doing more research for the Ethiopia tour in January 2017, and I came across this Steve McCurry video. Now, we all know Steve McCurry, the famous photographer of Afghan Girl, and he was doing this thing for this NGO over there, and they were interviewing him and sort of taking him around this villages in the Omo Valley. And why I bring it up.
Is that where the washing powder comes from?
Exactly right, it's a valley. It's a very clean place. Omo, for those who don't know, if it's not available in your country, it's a...
washing powder in Australia.
But he has a very unusual camera hold.
Oh, does he?
Like nothing I've ever seen. And there may be a medical reason for it with his, I don't know.
Right.
But he basically has, attached to a tripod socket, basically a handle. It's just it's like almost like you use the video. It's like those little sort of sticks. So it's only sort of fist size. It just basically goes straight to the bottom of the tripod.
So just like a vertical hand grip.
Pretty much, yeah. And he's holding that with his right hand.
Oh.
Then he reaches over the top of the camera, over the prism with his left hand, and is firing the shutter button with that hand.
What?
Which, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I just saw it literally, once again, just 10 minutes ago, I saw that and thought, oh, I'll mention that because that's kind of...
Wow. Lost fingers on his right hand?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. It's wow. I'm going to copy the link because some of the places there are just astounding, and we like to see astounding places. And if any of our lovely listeners out there want to go to this astounding place with me, it will be the trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, right.
And it'll be gone soon.
Why?
Well, because the Western world is encroaching these places very fast. And it's tribal culture and this tribal lifestyle. They're already seeing that, like 5 years ago, everyone wore traditional clothing. Now you see some Western T-shirts and Western jeans, and it's starting to change. Yeah, the outside world is slowly, working its way in there.
Yeah, right.
So, this is a chance to go in before it's all gone for good and take some remarkable photographs of remarkable group of peoples. So, then I did a one-on-one this week as well. Remember I was telling you about doing the one-on-one with the guy who wants to photograph dying kangaroos?
Yeah.
That was tough work. It was hard. Yeah, the first one-on-one I've ever done, I didn't take a single photo. Yeah.
Why?
Oh, it was just sort of following, showing him how to do it. And it was really, it's trying to do these setups and dealing with getting stuff working fast. And but it was just challenging.
I thought you'd already done that when we recorded last week.
No, I was going to do it.
Oh. Because weren't you telling me about having to chase his cat all around the backyard?
Well, that's right. We have done it since then. Look at that. Yeah, I've done that one. Tough. See how tough this is blended.
It's been a tough week, mate.
One thing I did say when I was at the zoo today.
Yeah.
Our man Dave has the new Trey Ratcliffe bag that we were talking about last week.
Are you kidding?
So he, by chance, he happens to have got it, so I've got to have a play with it today and see what this $5 million bag is.
Right, and did it blow you away?
Well, I'm just calling it Trey Bag, Trey Chic.
Nice.
Trey Chic. So what I did there, it's like, anyway. Yeah, it's a good bag. It's a really good bag.
Right.
Really clever, well designed, really well thought out, good access. Yeah, lovely material.
Cool.
For a couple hundred bucks or whatever it cost him, I think it's a great bag. So,
hey, you want to hear something funny?
Always.
I sent an email back to the people from Stand-In Baby.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I said, look, we gave you a plug, yeah, but you have to excuse my irreverent co-host.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
What?
Crickets.
Really?
Haven't heard a word from them.
Well, they wouldn't have listened, surely.
Hey?
Thanks. They wouldn't have.
Who knows?
Maybe it's just a blanket thing they sent out to everybody and they're not paying attention.
Maybe. It was addressed Dear Bruce, so they must have done some research.
Interesting.
So anyway, I thought that was funny that, you know, I sent it back, said, hey, we gave you some coverage. Here's the link to the podcast. Crickets.
That's funny, isn't it? funny stuff. I had a play around this week with the iPad Pro as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is, like I say, it seems quite a remarkable tool.
So for me who lives outside of the iOS universe, what's the iPad Pro?
Oh, it's an iPad, but a Pro version.
I never would have guessed.
It's like, I don't know, it's like a 12.5-inch screen or something like that. So it's a big mofo screen. It's like having a laptop with the keyboards falling off.
So like the Windows Surface Pro?
Yeah, I'm not sure how big those screens go to on the Surface Pro, but it's a big sucker. I've got to tell you, the sound on it is astounding, which doesn't necessarily help us photographers.
Right.
But sound is really good for this type of device.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they've got this new eye pencil, which, Yeah, no. Well, I would put eyeliner on when I hear that. Yeah, mascara. But that's a phenomenal sensitive control as well. Its ability to work. If you're in that sort of visual art stuff, I think it'd be phenomenal as well. The big downside is, I mean, it's running iOS rather than their normal operating system platform. So there's no Photoshop, no Lightroom, and probably won't be at any point. Yeah. So you're running these sort of light versions or they're other types of programs which don't have the full body of capabilities. But so if you're a traveling photographer and you wanted some basic editing capability, some storage, some transfer capability, and also to be able to watch movies, keep your music, all that sort of stuff on a device, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
The keyboard that goes with it, the little folding keyboard's excellent. It feels almost as good as an actual computer keyboard.
Yeah, right.
So it is an excellent computer replacement for someone who wants to save on size and weight. Well, maybe not size, but weight.
Yeah, I think when my current tablet passes into obsolescence, I think my next tablet will be a Surface Pro rather than an Android tablet.
Yeah.
Simply because it's running Windows, and then as you say, you can run Lightroom on it.
Yeah,
because they're so much lighter to carry than a laptop, perfect travel device.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I should look in one of those.
Mm.
I'll put that on my list.
Yeah.
And then last thing, just because dealing with my mum this week, since yesterday, reminds me of the one of my favourite websites, photographic websites in the world. So I went in to visit a bit of a cry again today.
Yep.
DaysWithMyFather.com.
Yep.
So for those who haven't seen it don't know it or just want to reacquaint themselves with the site, I go look at that site at least once a year.
Yeah, right.
It's a remarkable site. It does photography so very well. It tells the story, tells life. It's a wonderful.
I'm familiar with the site, but not intimately so. I'm assuming the guy's dad has now passed away.
Yeah. Right. He did on initially when the website came out, it went through to his end.
Yeah.
And it's just is a beautiful piece
tribute.
Of work. Yeah, and it's just something I'm sure was very cathartic for him, but also had to be so much more for so many people. I know it's been made into books.
Really?
That much as well. So go over gander at that.
Nice.
And last but not least, someone asked the other day, and I can't remember who it was, we were talking the other week about the guy who had the web blog post about how to make backgrounds black using Flash. Remember, he couldn't actually achieve it himself.
Yeah, and he was using a really horrible little clay figurine or something.
That's the one, And I said, it was really easy, and people said, but you never actually told us, how is it easy? So I thought today I'd explain how to make backgrounds black using Flash.
Right.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Set your exposure on your camera.
Yep.
So that everything goes black.
Yeah.
Then light the thing you're lighting with the Flash.
Yeah.
make sure the flash doesn't hit anything else.
Yeah.
The background's black.
That's it. It's really not that hard.
It's pretty much as simple as that. So basically underexpose everything until everything disappears. Now, so let's say using normal flash, we're not sure of a high speed sync, but normal flash.
Yeah. So 250th sync speed.
Yep. So maybe you've got a maximum shutter speed of 250th of a second.
Yeah.
You only use your lowest ISO. So drop your ISO down as low as you can go.
Yep.
100, whatever you can do. And then whatever aperture is required to make the background go black.
Yeah.
And if you're at like F22 or F32, like your biggest aperture number, and the background's still black, not black, I should say, guess what? You can't turn it black in those conditions.
That's right. There's too much ambient light.
But if you're like in shade, something like 250, F11, F16 is going to knock that to black.
At 100 ISO, yeah.
It's going to knock that background to black, no problem whatsoever. So, basically just establish an exposure where you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Like the thing you're lighting. And just make sure. So where this guy went wrong in his blog post is he's shooting at 5.6 on his aperture.
Yeah.
And he's not getting his ambient down enough, and he can't figure out why. Well, you know, increase your aperture.
And this is what frustrates me about the internet, is people who think they are in a position to explain things to other people when they don't even understand it themselves.
Yeah. the great Einstein quote of, if you can't explain something simply enough, you don't know it well enough.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's that guy's, you know, the issue. He's doing this stuff, and yeah, hey. And there's nothing wrong with trying that, but just don't put it out. There's a blog post saying you do.
Yeah,
you
know? Don't try and pass yourself off as
if you can't do it. You might be an awesome, you might be a phenomenal at 500 other great things in photography.
Yeah.
Write about those.
Yeah.
If you can't do this one, don't talk about that one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't talk about macro stuff because I can't photograph macro.
Right.
You know, I don't do landscapes because I'm lousy at it. You know, I don't. You know, you can't be good at every part of photography, so don't pretend you are.
No.
Yeah, if I'm no good at something, I'll tell people, and it's a lot easier for everybody.
Same.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, you just say you're crap in general, Bruce. Yeah. It just covers all bases.
Yeah.
It's harsh, isn't it? So anyway, next. That was my week, anyway.
Cool.
Some stuff.
Well,
I mentioned that all people with the name Glyn are idiots.
Who says that?
You just said.
Oh, right. Okay. Why?
I came across this video, which was Rembrandt lighting with only one light. I was thinking, hang a sec. But Rembrandt lighting is only one light. So, in other words, it should have been maybe phrased Rembrandt lighting made easy,
yeah,
but not with only one light, because it's only, and it's this guy, his name's Glyn, so I thought I'll promote him because he's got a good name.
Right.
He's only got the one in, so he's sort of fallen over a bit there, but yeah. But basically, and I've got the link there.
Yeah.
If we can get past the
No,
the,
you didn't have a link for that.
The link there? People no. are named, you know, idiots, didn't I put that one there?
Oh, people with the name, yeah. Yes. It's a YouTube video. Yep.
Yeah, it's a YouTube video. I wouldn't say it's worth watching. It could, depending on your knowledge of lighting, if you don't know very much about lighting, it could be one of the most awesome things you ever see.
Right.
So it's definitely worthwhile having a look if you're just starting out and want to know how to light something.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for some, if you have a bit of experience, you're looking for some epiphany,
piff
somewhere else, basically.
Right.
But yeah, so all people that own Glyn are idiots.
Okay.
So I'll get that out there. And, yeah.
All right. Well, you, me, and Adam all picked up on the story this week of...
story, isn't it?
And I don't know if this is confirmed yet. Maybe you do.
No.
I saw it as it just smells, being a rumour.
Smells confirmed.
Right. Smells like it's confirmed. Okay. That Nikon is buying Samsung's IP, which will see Nikon have at least a foothold to get into the mirrorless market.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, the flags were sort of raised when a couple of weeks ago Samsung were basically pulling out of Europe all the NX stuff.
Yeah.
And that, so why? I mean, all of a sudden the cameras seem to be improving. They're starting to do pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got the battling the behemoth that is Sony.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, bang, it didn't make any sense in the world to me, but it makes sense if someone's bought them and says, we don't want you, we're pulling that brand name off the marketplace and we're going to rebadge it Nikon.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that sniffs or something like along that sort of lines.
Yeah, did you read the Petapixel article?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because there's an interesting post made by Andrea Georgia of Germany in the DP Review forums, and there's a quote there which reads, "Over the last couple of months, I talked quite a few times to a Samsung representative in Dusseldorf, Germany, who told me repeatedly that he had indeed seen Samsung's full-frame sensor at their German facility in Schwalbach, not mounted in a camera, he said, but on its own. In the early fall, he..."
My photo's going to be lousy if you have to walk around holding the sensor. The ultimate lightweight camera.
Lightweight might be a bit sensor of an issue.
You wouldn't have to buy one of those adapters from last week, would you?
So anyway, it goes on to say that, you know, that Samsung had definitely been working on a 35mm sensor. So
yeah, very strange. Yeah. Watch this space, I think.
Yes. And the, earlier in that story, it said that Samsung reportedly has a major press announcement planned for the CES trade show in January. So
Remember suspicion we were saying last week about, you know, people like Canon that looking to buy imaging
television.
They're trying to expand their foothold in the market that where they're failing, and both Nikon and Canon are failing in mirrorless.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that can't sit well with them. No. So it kind of makes sense if someone thinks, well, that Samsung IP is worth us taking over. Yeah.
Do you think, like, that Canon and Nikon were just oblivious to, you know, the oncoming juggernaut that was mirrorless? Like, did they
isn't every major company at some point guilty of that?
Yeah.
Look at your Kodaks and all the major, huge corporations that were impenetrable for so long just fell over in a very short period of time. It could be a matter of a couple of years to 10 years or so. All of a sudden, the business has just quartered and fallen off.
Yeah.
That's just so much our industry that it was so disrupted now that it's easy to have missed. And you only have to miss out by a year.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
You have one or two failings and where it didn't quite work, and you know, you're at the bottom of the chain.
Yeah.
So, and then what they do, they throw money at the problem. And we talked last week about Canon trying to buy Sigma.
Yeah.
And we knew they weren't buying Sigma necessarily for their lenses, but for their sensor technology.
Yeah.
If Nikon was buying Samsung for their sensor technology and Canon, yeah, who knows?
You can see, Canon would make a similar type of play just to keep up.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, the headline, interesting times.
Yeah. So. We got a couple of emails from Carl this week.
Carl.
The first one was not photography related. He said, "Hi guys, this is a music doco you might like, the history of Fat Possum's records and the blues artists that recorded there, called You See Me Laughin'. It's a personal journey into the lives and music of the last of the hill country bluesmen who've kept their music alive on the back porches and in the tiny juke joints of the Mississippi backwoods." You've got to say that with an American twang while you're chewing on a hayseed. So, yeah. So thank you, Carl. Glenn looked it up because I don't do iTunes.
I haven't had time to look at it either, but or pay the $10 to have a look at it. So anyone's got a preview copy?
Yes.
Yeah, but it does sound very interesting. This is after coming from the Searching for Sugar Man we were talking about last week.
Yeah. I had a listen to the first album. Well, not all of it. The first two or three tracks. It's all over the shop, isn't it?
Musically,
it doesn't sit in one genre.
No, it definitely doesn't. And that's what I hear early Deep Purple. Yeah,
and I think it was about the third track that was very Dylan.
Mm.
And you mentioned having heard.
Yeah, and you Dylan think, well, if it's at the era, the burgeoning opening up of the 70s where everything was experimental and trying and the string arrangements in there. But it's very, it's been on high rotation this week again. And
all right.
Yeah, loving it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Anyway, and his second email was, "Hi, Glenn and Bruce, in regards to deleting the menus of cameras from last week's podcast, just wondering, doesn't your Canons and Sonys have custom menus which you can set up just to show you what you use the most? My Nikon D700 does." I don't think the Sony does.
No. We have a couple of custom setups where you can say, okay, this shows
me
the size.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah,
that's easy. But not. I don't want to see all these other, you know, Wi-Fis, GPS
buttons. The ability to hide certain menu options is not on my 850 anyway.
And, I mean, the D700 is, what, 8 years old now? So
yeah.
It's quite,
so
it's a bit of habit then, and no one's taken it up.
Yeah. And Adam posted a few things on the Facebook wall. I'm not going to go through all of them, Adam, but the first one was, parents are naming their babies after Instagram filters. Stop the world. I want to get off.
Stop the world.
Jeez. You just shake your head, don't you?
I know. There's been a 35% increase in Lux, as an example. Yeah. Oh, these are names. It's like, what's wrong with John?
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, the next one was on F-stoppers, and this was three meteorologist / photography enthusiasts who have got together and created, I'm guessing it's software that hopes to predict where vivid sunsets will happen.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sunset 40 predictor.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that, you know, with things like, you know, access to weather apps, which can show you where cloud masses are, and with things like the photographer's ephemeris, which, you know, can show you the time of sunset and time of sunrise and the angles and the ability to drop a pin.
Then you've got Doppler wind radars.
Sorry?
Your Doppler wind radars.
Right.
Well, they'll show you which way the clouds are coming, which way they're going.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
So Doppler tells you at what speed it's coming towards you. And
I kind of thought, we should have already been able to predict these things.
Well, we can predict when sunset is.
But I mean, in conjunction with knowing where your cloud masses are and, you know, the direction and speed at which they're travelling or whatever, you should
maybe
be
able. No one's brought it all together.
But maybe, I guess maybe that's it.
Cool idea, though.
Bringing it all together. Yeah, oh, it's a fantastic idea.
Works. Can't take some of the.
Because let's face it, there aren't enough sunset photos yet.
Oh, no. it takes a whole lot of the mystery out of the thrill of the hunt, doesn't it?
It does, though. It does.
Your iPhone goes off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the sunset's going to be good that night.
Yeah. And
you pack up and you head out, but any other time you don't go.
Anyway.
Imagine if they have these fishing predictors, tells you when the fishing's going to be awesome between this hour and this hour, so that's the only time you ever go out fishing.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, why would you go any other time?
Like, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And the third one I'll feature from Adam was the announcement in this era of demise within the photographic industry. We're all in shock to hear that the Holger is going out of production.
I know, which is a big surprise, I've got to say.
Yeah.
How long have
they been in production? It must be like 70 years.
Not really, because it was the Holger we know is a rebadged, remade version of what it used to be. So it's only mid 80s, maybe later than that, 90s.
So 40 years. Okay.
25, okay. But not that long. but yeah, I'm surprised there's not enough to. I think what it is, there's too many other cameras these days.
Yeah.
There's been too many other plastic toy cameras.
Yeah.
And there's been too many other people just taking up, you know, buying really good old 35mm film cameras rather than just playing with cheap crappy ones.
Yeah, right.
The secondhand market's very buoyant and people wanting to play with good cameras, not just cheap plastic crap.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Interesting. So what do you got on your list?
Playboy, as we know, no longer do nudes in their Playboy.
Yeah.
Now Pirelli calendars. Have you seen that?
I've seen the shot of Amy Schumer.
Yeah, so she's a little bit declad, but she's the only one. But basically, she's Annie Leibovitz is photographing women who have had an influence in the arts.
Right.
Calendar, and so it's a very different, very very different feel and direction for their calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the world coming to? If you can't trust Playboy and Pirelli, you know. They say the internet's not having an impact. Yeah, the internet is. I don't know who says that. You know, when porn is so easily available that Playboy said, well, why should we bother? We'll put clothes on. That's so rare.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's funny. I did come across this funny thing that was on an Australian TV, one of the quality Australian TV programs called A Current Affair.
Right.
Where they got what's called the Bridal Justice Bus.
The what now? The
Bridal Justice Bus.
Right.
And they got like 20 angry newlywed brides in this bus.
Right.
And they're all chasing around this Brisbane photographer who'd stuffed them all over.
Oh, okay.
And they're chasing around. And they actually had the bus painted up saying Bridal Justice Bus.
Right.
And so I've got a link to this site. It's a 15-minute documentary, 15-minute right. piece on destroying this guy.
Right.
And look, I'm not saying he may absolutely deserve it. I don't know. But just the whole...
I did see something about this story and about how he'd kept some of these newlyweds waiting over 12 months to get their photographs. And his excuse was, I'm a one-man operation.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's no excuse.
It's no excuse, but it's common.
Okay. Well, but the point is, I see fault on both sides here.
Yeah.
One, if you're going to go into business... in a service-oriented industry, at least be capable of delivering said service.
Uh-huh.
The fault on the other side is bride and groom really should be making the inquiry at the time that they book this guy to say, how long is it going to be before we get our product?
Which we don't know. They may have done that as well. We don't
possibly,
know.
Possibly.
But I knew...
But this guy was apparently threatening to delete the photos because the brides and grooms were hassling him.
I knew of a fabulous photographer from New South Wales, lady right. photographer, fabulous.
Yeah.
Charged a lot of money for weddings.
Right.
A lot of money for weddings. It was very, very good. But she was so persnickety, so demanding about each and every image that she too was, from memory, and I could be wrong, but my memory hits me as saying 18 months behind delivering images.
That's inexcusable.
To me, it's bad business practice.
It is.
I mean, you shouldn't be that hooked up on your images. You have your hero images, and as a business, you foster out that other work to lesser mortals.
Yeah. But and yeah, let's face it, if you're charging like super big bucks to shoot the wedding, then you can afford to farm out
absolutely
that work.
And she was. And here's the thing, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not just your fly-by-night shonky operators.
Yeah.
It's endemic across a lot of people who are kind of stuck in this rut and you can see how it can happen.
Yeah.
Not making excuses for the guy, but you can certainly see how it can happen. And probably fairly quickly. If you've got like 8 or 10 weddings really quickly, like over a bit of a month, and all of a sudden, your system's not capable of editing them all, and then you get a couple more weddings, and you can see how it could all start to snowball quite easily.
Yeah.
But at some point, you've got to say, I need help, and find a way of solving the problem. But,
exactly.
Yeah. But, that's to err is human, to have no hair is to be bald, something like that. But interesting story.
What I find cheesy, not having watched the 15-minute piece Doco. That they've put together. What I do find cheesy is the fact that they've got all these brides in their bloody
in
bridal
their
gowns.
Wedding outfits, and they have bridal justice bus.
That's just
low rent current affair. Typical low rent.
That's just tacky television.
And the thing is, once again, they don't care the slightest about these brides, but it's a great visual story.
Exactly.
A couple of other things. Remember we were talking about that little DxO camera, that camera that can plug onto the side of an iPhone or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, they've just had their first firmware update.
Right.
And the camera can now do up to 1/20,000th of a second shutter speed.
Wow.
Which apparently, the reason they've done it is because pros have been asking for this.
For a 1/20,000th of a second shutter speed?
Yeah, I mean, pros are so used to using 20,000th.
From their iPhones.
Yeah. But tell me one pro... Canon or Nikon body that shoots at a 1/20,000th of a second shutter speed anyway. There's not a single pro out there would have ever asked for that because none of them, they're not used to it. They've never had that anyway in any of their cameras. Okay. Yeah. So, but it can now do a 20,000th and all the way down to 30 seconds, which is pretty good. But apparently it's got a whole bunch of other tweaks and updates which make it even more user-friendly.
You didn't even go there. I was waiting for you.
What?
The 30-second limit.
Oh, yeah.
I fully expected you to jump on your soapbox there.
Not myself today, dude.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll pick up on it next week. Which, speaking of next week, when are we going to wrap this up for the year?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because I was thinking about that just today. If you're okay, we'll do two more. That'll be the 10th and the 17th.
So anyway, here's an idea.
Yep.
Okay, if the PayPal link at the bottom of the thing on ShuddersIncPodcast.com,
yeah,
donate to help keep the podcast going.
Yeah.
If that reaches $20, right, in the next week,
yeah,
we'll only record one more episode. If it doesn't reach $20, we'll record two.
Right. Thinking, based on past history, I think there's a likelihood we'll be doing another two. Because almost no one ever donates.
You never know. It may just be that call to action, you know, that just kicks it going. So anyway, there we go.
But you can look forward to a whole month break, because there'll be Christmas, New Year, and then in the second week of January, Kath and Max and I are heading over to Western Australia for a week. So
nice, dude.
So
then a few weeks before I go away for a month, so it'll be
right,
a bit sporadic next year.
Okay, well that's fine. We'll make it work however we can.
We could do some pretend ones when I'm overseas, like pretending like I'm on a Carol's back, and I just record from here in the bedroom, you know. But it's, it's really windy, Bruce. Yeah, you're a sound effects guy. You can put sound effects in afterwards.
That's right.
Yeah, like Big Ben ringing. Yeah, I'm here in Delhi. Why is Big Ben ringing? The stuff. Then, speaking of Delhi, Von Wong.
Yeah.
Did this interesting blog on storm chasing.
Right.
So he got this famous American storm chasing photographer, and they fanged it around America in an ambulance with models and set up doing model shoots in front of these amazing storms.
Nice.
So that's what people want to see, some here's the bad thing about this. The behind the scenes shots will look better than Von's shots.
Oh really? Whoops.
So I don't know what's going on there, but the behind the scenes shots, some of them look great. God, oh, why can you have that? Watching your shot like that.
I love the guy sitting on a toilet in the middle of a field.
I know.
That's just cool.
It's very funny. And but there's one there of the girl ironing.
Yes.
Can you see the behind the scenes shot of that though?
Yeah. Yeah.
The behind the scenes looks better.
Yeah.
Than the shot's got of the girl.
Yeah.
So that's kind of amusing in its own funny little way.
Great concept.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
If we had storms like that down here, it'd be. I'd love to try something.
I mean, if you went up to the Northern Territory, you'd get good thunderstorms like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just find his lighting all just a bit flat.
So
the storms are really dramatic and the lighting's not. Yeah, but
Well, actually, I don't know. I look at those images and I think it's just a post-production issue. It just needs to be,
Look how good the post-production is on that one of the girl. Yeah. Doing the behind the scenes.
They just need to be slapped a little harder in the Lightroom.
Quite a different set of clouds behind her than the behind the scenes too. So it's developed. So obviously it might be going really, really fast. But either way, it was great. It's a great idea. So all power to him for such awesomeness. And the last thing I've got is the Lumu. The Lumu.
The Lumu.
Which is just a plug-in device that plugs into your lightning jack or your, I think it might also go into a microphone jack of your phone and becomes a full-on light meter.
Oh, okay.
So I've had in the past the ones, but it has to go over the lens of your camera, but this is actually a self-contained unit, which is good because when you change cases, it doesn't fit on and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it not only does it do light, it does color temperature.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
So it's called Lumu Power, a light meter for the future. It looks pretty darn cool. It looks expensive. It's going to be like $300 when it comes out.
Oy, oy, oy.
Which is the price of a light meter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But, it does look pretty darn cool.
Yeah,
if that's something you have a need for,
yeah, cool.
That's it.
All right. Link will be in the show notes for those that want to check that one out.
Lumu.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will. I will.
Hopefully you're more your chirpy usual self next week.
Well, once again, the PayPal.
Yeah.
If it reaches $40, I'll stay like this. If it now, yeah. See how we go.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, everybody.
See ya. Bye.
Shutter's Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.